welcome to For the Record, our bi-weekly show in which we take one recently released album and discuss it in depth. You can listen to us every other Thursday at 9:30 a.m. San Francisco time on the world's best internet radio station, BFF.fm, or subscribe to the podcast at ForTheRecordPodcast, all one word, .com. This week we're talking about the second LP from Ducks Limited called Harm's Way, and the first song is called Hollowed Out. Of Ducks Limited when the Beths sung backup vocals on some of their tracks, and we both love the Beths, and I think it's a good match. I mean, I think they teamed up because they're both on Car Park Records, but the Beths similarly write very tight, precision crafted pop songs that are very upbeat, and I feel like that meshes with what Ducks Limited are doing. And this particular album, they're a duo from Toronto. They recorded this in Chicago with a bunch of collaborators and backup players, including Julia Steiner of the Rat Boys. And you can hear that in the very layered textures of this first song that really sets the tone for the album.
Yeah, I think more notably, you can barely hear her on this track. I think some of the tracks are more notably, those backing vocals are more prominent. Here, what I really pick up on is A, that they also raid Rat Boys for the drumming and go with Marcus Nuccio.
Yeah, as a duo, they generally just use a drum machine when they're writing these songs.
Yeah, I think what's fun about these tracks is that a lot of them have, I think there's the drum machine and then also a human drummer. Mm. And so you get this sense of the hyper rapid precision, but then also the warmth that you get from a real person. And they get both of those just layered on and it feels very organic. And then additionally, they ramp up the warmth on this track with a string section where they have both a cello and violin. And so it just has all of these great keyboards and strings, and it's warm and inviting. And of course, it's a warm, inviting, fast-moving song about being kind of depressed and just world kind of sucks.
Yeah, this also sets the tone for the album as far as this is the kind of like indie rock trope, which is not a bad thing, of songs about being depressed and anxiety and having trouble struggling through life, but set to songs that are very upbeat, major key pieces.
Yeah, hang in there. And yeah, taking various inspiration from real world events. Sometimes here it was, I guess, just some big sinkhole that happened and how that becomes this metaphor for all of the darkness underneath that you don't know is happening. And then suddenly, boom, everything is undermined. And yet you just live your life and I guess maybe just have to navigate around that neighborhood where the sinkhole is for a while.
So the next song we'll play is called Cathedral City.
Gray, green, nothing to see.
this album came out in the winter, but it has such a summery sound, this warmth that feels like, you know, it's a little bit echoey. It's not quite a surf guitar, but it has this feeling of the ocean, of the beach. I'm reminded a little of an earlier band we did, Husbands, where they're from Oklahoma and sound like the beach. And this is a band that's in Toronto, not known for its beaches. And yet it has this kind of, yeah, summery sound. And I love that apparently this song was inspired by being at this coast, but not at a beautiful beach, but in England, where the coast is grim and gray and sad.
Yeah, I was going to say, I originally thought they were from New Zealand because of the Beths association, and they sound vaguely British. And then the guitars and just kind of the tone of his tone of voice, Tom McGreevy, who's the songwriter and does main vocals, he has kind of a British sounding voice. And this made me feel like it could be a Lost Echo in the Bunnymen track, maybe. It has that British romantics feel.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Tom McGreevy's parents came from England, so maybe he picked up a little of the accent from them. And of course, Evan Lewis comes from someplace warm. He's originally from Australia.
That's where I got this.
Sure, that's totally how it works. But yeah, I love that phrase, though, that I was not familiar with, of a cathedral city, which is this, on the surface, like, ooh, it's a town big enough to have its own cathedral, except if you've traveled in Europe, it's like, you don't have to be very big before the first thing you build is a cathedral.
It's an official historic designation in the UK for certain types of towns.
Yeah, but it sounds more impressive, but I imagine that a lot of pretty small towns still earn that. It's so evocative. Mm-hmm. And I love that this is just, yeah, it's not a very specific song, but it just evokes this notion of there's the images of this city and longing and the ocean going out or maybe coming in to drown us all. And it's just, it sounds so bright, and yet there's bright and darkness, but I think a lot of darkness. It's a really intense song. I did want to call also these songs are really short. And so the fact that they even slipped a pre-chorus into this, it's like, ooh, they found room for a pre-chorus. Cause usually it's just verse, verse, chorus, boom, 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 no bridges, no fat on these songs.
Yeah. The whole album is 9 songs and it's only 27 minutes long.
Yeah. It's quite efficient.
All killer, no filler.
One might say that it is a blast to listen to, and that goes on in the next track. It's called The Main Thing.
Another track where there's just so many layers of sound, and the guitars are very fast and frenetic, but then there's also these backing vocals and other layers of guitars and other tones underneath that you can hear if you listen on good headphones.
Yeah, this also has the most kind of drum machine sounding drums, even though there's still a human drummer, but these insane hyperspeed drum fills. But it is really a testament to how these songs don't feel fussy, even when they're so layered. And this was produced by this guy, Dave Vetrano, who I'm not familiar with, but has worked with a variety of Chicago bands like Dead and Deeper. Not a huge resume, but clearly very skilled producer, able to get this very immediate and yet very textured sound, as well as... interestingly, this is, I think, the first time we've heard prominent backing vocals, but there's only one credited singer, who is this Jason Bala from Dead and Knee-High on the backing vocals, also has a credit for doing additional production on the vocals. And so even though only one credited vocals, it sounds so warm, it sounds so inviting, and it is, yeah, such a nice balance between the incredibly aggressive rhythm, just so propulsive, and yet it opens up in this second chorus that we heard.
So the next song we'll play is called Train Full of Gasoline. Here's me thinking this might have been our all-time low, but you're right.
is a nice return to, I think, some of the themes of the first track, which was very, you know, depressed and like, I'm just kind of stuck in a rut. And here it's like, I'm not just stuck in a rut, but I'm actually actively sabotaging myself with this great imagery of just setting this train up so it can roll down the hill and explode.
Well, no, I mean, so McGreevy has said in an interview that this is based on a real life disaster that happened in 2013. It's the Lac Mégantic rail disaster in Quebec. And basically this train full of, I think, crude oil was like sitting stationary on a track on like a 1% grade. So it was barely downhill. And because of a combination of training and safety failures, it just started rolling and then picked up speed and ended up derailing in a town and killing like 47 people. And what he said about this in an interview is that it was a situation where there was no one person who was at fault. And it's kind of like in relationships where like there's not one thing that happens, but it's the cumulative effect of all these things happening and how, you know, you can repeat that in different relationships.
Yeah. I've always been a dumbass. Yeah. But I guess we got to do this the hard way. Just great lyrics. And yeah, these songs are not musically fussy or lyrically fussy. And yet they managed to capture a lot of these, you know, essential emotions in ways that are quite appealing.
Yeah, and I love the way that this song with a combination of the rhythm guitar and the drums really gives you the sound of like a train chugging. It kind of reminds me of the Magnetic Field song Fear of Trains, where it has that feel as well.
Yeah, and it has this great kind of organ underlying. And I think there's like a little more twanging at the guitars as well as its organ, again, played by that producer, Dave Vitrino. And so it has a little more of a country-ish sound, which is, you know, just, again, gets you like out on those rails. It's really evocative in a way that's delightful.
I think it's the best song in this album, and it's the one that I play over and over again.
Yeah, so we come from here to another track that's, I think, more in the wistful longing category. It's called Deleted Scenes.
Some of that outro, which is what we played when we faded out. It's like the song ends and then it completely takes a left turn into this other separate outro that's like 30 seconds long and has a lot of strings and is all instrumental.
Yeah, it's a very strange song, and even that it's anchored in this, you know, different to me, new to me metaphor of the deleted scene, this notion of singing fondly of someone during these verses of like, yeah, you used to do all these things. And it's sort of both affectionate and yet occasionally kind of critical of this person. And then in the choruses take you to this, and now you're gone. Now you're just this memory. And I don't see you in real life. I see you just on a screen.
And it's also the weird throwback metaphor of deleted scenes, which you would usually get on a DVD, which, you know,
That is a modern and new technology, and no one will convince me otherwise. Those are brand new and cutting edge. No, it is sort of funny, and I don't know exactly how old these guys are, but clearly old enough to remember that. And it is such a great metaphor for that role, because it's like, it's both totally integral, it's part of the package, but it's now off to the side, and it's the people in your life who matter to you, and then suddenly they aren't part of your life anymore. And how strange that feeling is.
So speaking of throwbacky, the next song we'll play is On Our Way to the Rave.
Love that when asked about this song, the band says that, oh, we were inspired by country music and how it's all these songs about going out on a Saturday night in your blue jeans. But of course, we're not from the country. We're from the city. So this is our version of that.
Yeah. And I think it was in that same interview where they asked him, is this like, oh, yeah, when a recollection of when you were young? And he said, oh, no, all my friends started going to raves in their 30s. They were into bands and then they got into electronic music.
So a little like Bob Mould, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it's so, again, another one that is on its surface so joyful and propulsive, and yet then you hear at that end of the chorus is that great, or the line of like, I'm certain to make memories I'll barely retain.
Well, and you know, Tom McGreevy has such kind of a soft singing voice that's a little bit it comes across as detached, like it's a little bit monotone, and you have this image of someone going out with all of his friends, and he's just kind of like, well, I guess this is what we're doing, and isn't really that into it. And I think that reflects on the album's kind of through line of like songs about struggling and kind of being depressed, and sometimes the being depressed is more mundane scenes like this one.
Yeah, you're out to have a blast, except it's maybe not that fun. It's fun. Have you been to a rave? They're not fun.
So the next song we'll play is called A Girl Running. Another light that leaves you alone. Leaves you alone with old frustrations you share with everyone we know. A singing sense your future is a thing you won't control. A girl running. So this song obviously has a lot of layers to it, and it was one where they kind of sat around in the studio with Julia Steiner and some of the other folks who collaborated, and they were all hanging out in an evening, and everyone was throwing on layers and ideas. And McGreevy said this was one of the first times they've gotten to really collaborate in the same room with people, and so they really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's remarkably successful. It's, you know, I've talked about the extent to which the songs on this album don't feel fussy. And this is maybe the closest to feeling a little overwrought. Mm-hmm. But it sounds great. It's such this dreamy world that they create. And, you know, we're on a song where I think the songwriting is relatively straightforward, I feel like this ends up having some of the best flow, where you get this pre-chorus. And then this is what we heard there is the second chorus, where these backing vocals are coming in and it's the call and response. And then I love that the outro then takes those backing vocals, those lyrics in the backing vocal about, you know, she falls apart before me and then I fall apart right back, which is such a crazy imagery, and moves that to the front and then brings in this entire chorus of wordless backing vocals and fills it out, fills the room, creates this sense of magic, even around this general sense of longing with slight hints of doom with that falling apart.
Yeah, and it has such a British new romantic feeling, as I've mentioned. This would not have sounded out of place on like an XTC album. And I like that they take these elements of genres that we're familiar with, but put them together into this really just tight jangle pop collection that sounds like their own.
Yeah, I won't attempt to recapitulate, but I recommend reading the interviews because it's really delightful how they're so on top of so many different bands from the Canada and the UK and the US. And of course, with Evan coming from Australia, all these Australian artists that I have never heard of, and take all of those different influences to create something that feels really timeless. And yeah, I want to crawl up inside of this song. And yeah, as I said, this came out in the winter, but it feels like such a summer album. All of these songs just are summery and warm, and never mind the darkness that's hiding inside of them.
Yeah, and yet you look at the album art and it's this kind of very morose looking scene of just this little gazebo with a classical statue in the middle of it, and it's very dark and quiet looking. And I don't know what the like what is signaled by this cover art, but it definitely doesn't feel like the kind of sunny pop that it sounds like.
Yeah, I feel like this is a through line, because I think their first record also had kind of just architectural columns, looked almost like it was at a school or a church or something. Mm-hmm. Did not feel like jangle pop.
Yeah. So the next song we'll play is the penultimate track, and it's the title track. It's called Harm's Way. To play the entirety of that outro, because it's just, it gives the whole song such a triumphant feel, and the repetition of the chorus of Harm's Way, it just like it's really wants you to sing along, and the way the guitar rings out in the chorus really feels like it's some sort of triumph. But McGreevy has said that the explanation of this song is, he said, more than some of the other songs, this song specifically is about a thing I've seen in others and that I've seen in myself. My anxiety spurs me to action, but I think there's another side of it where it paralyzes. It's not an uncommon phenomenon. There's a way some people respond to that where they become unable to exist in the world, and in doing so put themselves in a different kind of harm's way. To my reading, for fear of being hurt, they are hurting themselves.
Yeah, I'm immediately reminded of the Lonely Island YOLO, yeah. You only live once or you ought to look out, and there's flip sides of the same coin. There's a little less comedic than that, but still captures that duality of the world is scary and you got to reach out and grab it or hide.
Yeah.
And maybe we have room to do a little of each in our lives.
So the juxtaposition of the kind of depressing, anxious feelings in these songs combined with the energy and the freneticness of the way that the songs sound is a good combination.
Yeah, I mean, Evan Lewis is not the flashiest guitarist, but these songs are so, I mean, I'm trying to imagine a lesser guitarist successfully pulling this off, and I can't. Like, he's so able to keep this amazing energy, really intricate guitar lines that are complicated and yet super catchy. It's really, he makes it look easy, and it is not.
Yeah, none of these songs are flashy. They're just really expertly executed and no fat, no indulgences. It's just get to the point, get to the chorus.
Well, it's the sort of album that, you know, you comes out in February and we are still listening to it.
Yeah.
And it just kind of hung around. And I think there have been a few previous times where it's like, I don't know. I think I was the one who was a skeptic. And I think I'm glad that we took the time to really dig in. And I realized, oh, there are so much depth under this Sunny Sheen. And I think it's a kind of album you can just let wash over you and not really dig in and enjoy it on that level. But yeah, it is. There's a lot more going on here. And it is, I'm glad we took the chance to dig in and really get into the meat and the bones on this thing.
And for the last song, there's kind of a shift in tone. It's much more acoustic and slow. And I wish, if I have one criticism of this album, I wish there had been more of this mixed in, just a little different moods, but it still sounds great at the end. And so we're going to go out with that. The song is called Heavy Bag. And we've been listening to the second LP from Ducks Limited called Harm's Way. You've been listening to For the Record. Thank you so much for listening.
Hitting the heavy bag, passing out, drinking on the train. It's like this everywhere, all the time, anywhere. Everyone all around, down somehow, seeking an escape. They're writing all their songs about it now. I keep on listening to the boys back in town. Every now and again, the pattern that we're in, wearing thin, and now you're getting out to seek a different sea for drowning in. I guess I'm sad cause I won't be the one dragging you down.
BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.